So we're in Sefer Aleshon. We're going to conclude the topic today of Kavod. Just a quick summary of what we said until now, just to return. Until now we spoke about how there's a non-Jewish understanding of what Kavod is, and there's a Jewish understanding of what Kavod is. The non-Jewish understanding of what Kavod is your self-esteem is based on how other people give you a feeling that you're worthy. It's nothing to do with your inherent worth. Rather, it's how much other people make you feel worthy. That's a very negative one because it doesn't depend on you at all. Right? Other people can raise you up, other people can push you down, and you're not in control of your own destiny. How do you feel today? Well, he made me feel bad, and he made me upset, and he cheered me up. What do you mean? Other people are making you feel things? Why don't you make yourself feel things? No, I placed my center by others. And therefore, whatever they say I am, that's what I feel. That's the terrible thing to do. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want your feelings to be dependent on what other people say to you? Like that sounds ridiculous. Wouldn't you want to? Like, would you do that with your money? Would you take your bank account details and like hand them around to everyone and say, if you want to deposit money in my account, you can. If you want to take out money from my account, you can. Go free. You're free. Everyone's free. Of course you wouldn't do that. So why would you do that with your emotions? Here's my emotions. If you want to make me feel good, then just say a good word. If you want to make me feel bad, then just like say an insult. And it's like, it's yours. Do what you want. You wouldn't do that with your bank account. So why do that with your emotional bank account? That's crazy. So that's covered from a non-Jewish perspective. Covered from a Jewish perspective is bringing out the inherent quality that exists in that which you're honoring. So if you're honoring a Rav, a Talmud Chacham, what are you actually honoring there? You're honoring, you recognize here is someone who represents Hashem. Here is someone who represents, you can invest in your relationship with Hashem. And when I honor that aspect of him, the Torah in him and the relationship he has with Hashem, then I bring out that quality in him. I note it, I acknowledge it, I recognize it, and that strengthens that value by me. And then I become more of an Ohev Hashem. I become more of an Ohev Torah because I've noticed that by him. If I see someone who I admire the fact that he's a man of integrity, so by noticing that, by seeing that and seeing that he's a man of integrity, that brings out within me, it kind of strengthens the muscle within me that I become more of a man of integrity. So that's what, when you mechabed someone, you honor them by recognizing that positive trait, then it's not really them that you're honoring. It's this value that you note within. I mean, it's not from the Jewish perspective that you're honoring them, right? But rather, you're noting that value. That's what it means to honor someone, to note the value, to pay attention to that value. And then, lola acheru mechabed ela la'atzmo. That's the language of Rabbeinu Yonah. It's not the other person who gets honor, it's you. Because by you honoring them, you strengthen yourself in that trait that you have. And we concluded last time by saying, the ultimate quality of Hashem, the ultimate goal of Hashem in this world, of everything that he created, was for his honor. That's what it says in the end of Pirkei Avos, which we said that doesn't make any sense. Well, Hashem wants his own honor. He wants us to like to cheer him and support him and say, we love you, so he can have an ego trip, chas v'chalila. From the non-Jewish perspective, it's very hard to read that line in Pirkei Avos. Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo bara ela lechvodo. If you would say that about any individual, it would sound very self-centered. Why are we saying that about Hashem? But if you understand Kavod from the Jewish perspective, kol ma shehakadosh bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo bara ela, that we can take out those positive qualities and we can learn from him. He's showing us, meaning Hashem could have not revealed himself to us at all. He could have been super mystical and esoterical and beyond our comprehension. But he made himself in a way that we can see what he wants to show us in this world. And what he chose to show us was Mahu Racho, Mahu Chanun, his being kind and generous and Hashkacha Protis to the Jewish people and to others. And when we note that, we pay attention to that, we become more godly. So everything Hashem made, he made for honor, meaning that we would be able to draw out those positive traits that we learn from Hashem's way of running the world and from the Torah that he teaches us. And by us emulating Hashem and honoring Hashem, we become more godly beings. And that's our whole purpose. Am Kodesh we are. Why? Ki ani kadosh. This week's parsha. You should be a holy nation because I'm holy. What does that mean exactly? You emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see how he relates to the world, you emulate that and you become more holy yourselves. So he quotes Gemara in Baba Basra. Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'asos kol tzadik tzadik sheva chupos b'Gan Eden. In the future, every tzadik is going to have seven canopies in Gan Eden. Shneema u'bara Hashem al kol machon har tzion v'al mikri ha'anan yomam ki al kol kavod chupa. So the Gemara says two different things. One is that everyone is going to have seven And then it also says that everyone will have their own unique canopy. I don't know what that means. They have their own space, their own honor that they've created as a result. What does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechabed et tzadik ba'olam haba. Uvezeh ha'adam zocheh l'romamut ul'he'ara atzmit me'od na'ala mizu sh'neshama hayta mechabedet et adam ba'olam hazeh. It's an amazing thing what we're saying. It kind of goes back. You spend your whole life honoring Hashem, meaning emulating Hashem, recognizing Hashem, becoming more godly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechabed tzadik ba'olam haba. And then it comes back to you. And when you get to the next world, Hashem relates back to you with that honor. Meaning, what does that mean? He notes all the good work you've done. A tzaddik gets to the next world and it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu honors him. What does it mean he honors him? What does Hashem bow down to him? He gives him like a red symbol or a sash or a crown. What does it mean? What does it mean Hashem honors him? I know what honor is in this world. It's some external sign of significance. You sit in a certain place, you wear a certain hat, whatever it is. What does it mean to be honored in the next world? When you're in a neshama, then what is honor? What sticker does Hashem give you? The kids come home from kindergarten. I got a sticker. What sticker is Hashem going to give in the next world? But if you understand honor according to the Torah's perspective, the honor is noting and recognizing the quality. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to recognize and acknowledge all the work we've done in coming towards Him in this world. And that's the greatest joy. When it speaks about having joy in the next world, even in this world, what greater joy is there than someone acknowledging and recognizing true things, values that you've done? I'll take the opposite extreme for a second. How empty is it when someone says to you a praise which you know is not in line with who you are? Like let's say you made a microwave meal. Right? You opened the plastic, put it in the microwave and pressed, you didn't work out the time. There's a special ready-made 5-minute button. So you press the 5-minute button and you take it out and you sit down and your mother comes and says, "You're amazing. This is amazing. A gourmet chef." In my day, we couldn't do that. You didn't have a microwave. What do you mean you couldn't do that? So you don't feel built from that compliment because you know that it doesn't reflect true value. Right? You don't feel that. You say, "Thanks, Mom. You're building me." You don't feel that because only words which reflect your recognition that you've worked, you've earned, makes you feel built. But words which you recognize are empty because you don't have that recognition that they're true from within, then you dismiss. And not only do you dismiss them, but you feel put down with them. Because then if they say something positive about me, what does it mean? Like they praise things which are empty. So then even their praise is empty if they say something of value. So when Hashem is mechabed you in the next world, it's not some external praise. It's He exactly identifies the hard work you've done. And that feeling of satisfaction that you already have in this world when someone notes something authentic in you, that's a real satisfaction that you have. You're working on something hard and someone comes to you and they don't even praise you by saying you're amazing, but they just say, "I noticed that you're working harder on this point." They don't even have to say shkoyach. You can leave out the shkoyach. Just the fact I know. And you say, "I am working on that." That's right. And it makes you feel like, wow, I'm doing something of value. You feel you exist. You feel you have a place. You feel I am. Until now I felt I'm not. Now I feel I am. You can note to yourself as well. You don't have to wait for someone else to note for you. You don't want to be dependent on other people. You can note to yourself. You can say, "I'm working on this and I'm accomplishing. I'm doing well." Or, "I'm working on this, I'm not accomplishing, but I'm determined and I'm motivated and I'm keeping going. I have a smadha." You can note yourself and you have a feeling of self-worth. In the next world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechabed kol tzadik v'tzadik. V'adam zochel romamut l'hara atzmit me'od na'aleh mizeh shehashem mechabedet oto. It's an amazing thing. The same feeling you have in this world when it's authentic. I wouldn't say praise, just note, recognizing, acknowledgement, appreciate, not acknowledgement. That's the reward that you have in the world when Hashem does that. When Hashem notes all the work you put in, and you know that it's true, and He knows that it's true, again, that's objective, and He notes it, you say, "Oh, I had a meaningful life. I did something worthwhile in my life." Now we can explain the things in a beautiful manner. Kol avodos adam ba'olam hi kavod shamayim. Our goal in this world is giving honor to Hashem. What does it mean to give honor to Hashem? Like we spoke about, right? It doesn't mean going out there and putting up a big badge on a sign that says God is King. Right? What is that? You can do that. What is that accomplishing? But rather, you're always looking for ways to bring out Hashem in the world, to recognize Hashem in the world, find Hashem's qualities and express them in a tangible way. That's how you increase Kavod Shemayim in the world. Kol Chalko Ba'olam Haba, and then your reward in the next world is the Kavod HaShechina Chofef Alav. That degree to which you've brought Hashem out in the world, That's what you have in the next world. That's who you are. That's what you developed. I'll just say it in this way. We said in this world, and now we can compare it to the next world. In this world, we said, when I honor Reuven, then that quality that I honor in Reuven comes out in me. When I honor Hashem, right, and I bring out godliness in this world by acting in a godly manner, when I honor Hashem, then that brings out the godliness in me. And that's how you feed your neshama. That's what your neshama is, develops. That's how you fulfill your role as a neshama. So just like when you note in other people, it builds that aspect in you. When you note Hashem in the world, that's what builds your being a spiritual being. That builds your neshama, so that when you get to the next world, you exist. Right? That's why you have the feeling of existing when someone notes you. Because then you exist, like you are. Your neshama has a presence. It now, you're not a body, you're not physical. At that moment, you've noted your neshama. And you feel worthy, because it's real worth. It's your neshama.
So, you come to Hashem is sort of like a halacha b'drachav?
And yes, but and also doing mitzvot would be honored to Hashem if you're doing it the mindset of doing it for the sake of Hashem. Meaning you could do technical mitzvot which aren't ben adam l'chaveiro embracing Hashem. Of course, that is as well, right? But you could do it too. But if you're doing it with the mindset of this is God's will and I wish to do God's will, then you're bringing out expression of Hashem in the world. That's also a kavod Hashem. But there's obviously the Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem, those are like big ones that we usually use that term in, like lots of people noticed, but it's also a Kiddush Hashem, it's also Kavod Shemayim when you did God's will even in private. And that's, you're doing God's will, you're honoring the word of Hashem by the fact that you did the mitzvah. No one saw you, no one knew. You gave Matan Beseter, you gave Tzedakah secretly and no one knew that it was you. You're still honoring the word of Hashem because that was what Hashem was. You're honoring that. And that brings out your God in your spirituality. Okay. ולזה זוכה רק מידה כנגד מידה. And that works, מידה כנגד מידה, מי שחייב כולו מכבד, someone who spends the whole lives honoring, then it says about him, כי מכבדה יכבד, Hashem says about him, who he honors me, I will honor. Which from the non-Jewish perspective is so petty. It's so petty. Right? If you support me when I go up on stage and you cheer, then when you go up on stage and I'll cheer for you. Okay, you ready? We're in. Good. What does it mean for non-Jewish? Someone who honors me. If someone doesn't honor me, then I rule them out. What does that mean? If you understand it from a Torah perspective, that by noting the quality in another, then that brings out the aspect of them in you. It's not a tit for tat. It's rather a true midikarim gemida. What you notice, you become. What you value, that's who you are. מה נוראים החיובים של כבוד המטולים עלינו? כבוד הבריאוס, כבוד חברים. So now we understand that honoring other people isn't just a matter of politeness. It's not a matter of decency and courtesy. Those things also have a place. Also have a place. But that's not what we're speaking about here on the level of fulfilling the will of Hashem. That's a level of social norms, being pleasant with one another. But now we're speaking about every time you do kavod to someone else, it's gilui tzelem elokim. You're bringing out what they uniquely have, which they are supposed to represent of Hashem in this world. If Hashem gave someone calmness, and I don't have calmness, then their godly gift was calmness, that they were given as a gift. When I notice that, and I bring it out, I'm bringing out what Hashem uniquely gave them as a positive trait. So by me respecting their positive trait, and I'm respecting it, I become more calm, and I'm bringing out Hashem in the world. Because that was the gift that Hashem gave them. And it could be the opposite too. If I notice someone else who has an anger problem, and I say, he showed them, look at him, whoa! What a cool guy, he said his piece, he said his word. And I notice that, then that's a negative thing. It's bringing harm to the world. If I notice it, it could strengthen it in me. And that's bringing out Chilul Hashem. It's the same exact on the positive and the negative. What you notice, you bring out in yourself, and that's either increasing the will of Hashem in the world, or increasing negativity in the world. Hashem gave him that, but he didn't give him that as a test to overcome. He didn't give him that to show you how you should emulate. You know? You have to know what to honor and what not to honor. Be very careful. Note what you're honoring. When the students asked Rabbi Elazar, Rabbeinu lamdeinu olchot chaim, v'nizkeh l'chay olam haba. So the Gemara there speaks about different rabbis who are older and some of them are passing away. And they said, well, what can we do and what can we learn of how to have long lives? So he said, Hizaru b'kavod chavercha. He said, honor your friends. Now, why is honoring the friends the way to get a long life? Because as long as you are honoring other people, you're bringing out further qualities, potentially in them if you mention it to them, and certainly in yourself. You're constantly increasing yourself. If a person's not honoring other people, then what food is he giving his neshama? How is he developing? What more does he have to do in this world? Zui machalat kufateinu. Says the Alei Shor. I don't know if it's so much different today. So this is a big challenge in our days. That was a kind of word that he used. Shakavod amiti holech v'ne'elam v'rabim meim asonim oto. Real honor isn't as popular nowadays. Dafka in this area, I feel like there's been a comeback in some way. I do feel there's been a comeback. Like there was a period where it was cool to make fun of people and it was in to like be witty at someone else's expense. It still exists. But I feel to a certain degree, and anyone who saw the video that Karen Biavina put out for Purim, right, the whole message at the end of that video, as the Chai will testify as well, the whole message was like, you can be friends and you can notice the good in other people and you can bring that out. And there doesn't have to be some like kotsani, like stinging message at the end for it to be funny, for it to be a worthwhile video. The message at the end could just be just, there's inherent value in being good. Right? And not just because of courtesy, but because this is the will of Hashem that you're bringing out. So dafka, I'm thinking to myself, maybe this is making a comeback. There are some places or some communities or some societies where the more you're able to ridicule other people, the more you put down things of value, that's the funnier you are, the better you are. I remember distinctly in a period of my life where you would be embarrassed to say you got a good grade in school. Because the people who were getting low grades in school, who were probably embarrassed about it, right? They would say, oh, how low did you get? What did you get? Oh, you swat. They would make fun of people who were putting in effort to work. And it was embarrassing to say you put in hard work. Meaning, hard work, work ethic wasn't a value. What was a value was how you can work the system and show get away with things and like not do the test and not get in trouble. That was a value. Which is zilzul of something mechubad. There's something of true value there, something of growth. And instead, and that was kind of sort of praised, you know, that was like a good thing. In that era, at that time, right? I think even all the people who did that with me, that era probably have matured and outgrown that. And now, I don't think it's something which is like forever that people are in that stage. But sometimes you see people years down the line, and they're in exactly the same place they were. Like you mention someone and they make a joke about that person, and you mention some institution and they make another joke about the institution, and you say like, oh, you haven't changed. And you're exactly the same things you were saying that I met you 20 years ago. No one here can say that yet. Right? No one here, even if someone's 20, they don't remember the things that they said. Something. But like, I meet people now and then. They're more careful with me because they know this is a big topic by me. Like I find it very hard to relate well to someone who's always sarcastic and cynical. Here and there it slips up. Upset. But if someone's like whole way of relating is zilzul, it's hard to connect. It's hard to connect because whatever you're going to say, they're going to make fun of. It's an interesting story. My wife, there's an amazing institution which I recommend everyone take on in their spare time, maybe post yeshiva. It's called Partners in Torah. Do you know about it? It's a fantastic institution. So my wife got a chavruta. They bring out women to Israel for a trip for like 8-9 days for free, and the women are obligated to learn for a year once a week on the phone with the chavruta. So my wife was a chavruta. She's done it I think 2-3 times already now. Anyway, one of these chavrutas that she had, a non-religious woman, who everything they would learn, the woman's goal was to like show why it doesn't apply nowadays, or it doesn't make sense, or is that really true? And that was the whole goal. So my wife's goal was to learn Torah together. This woman's goal was to like prove why it's not. That was the whole goal. So at the beginning they were learning like more hashkafa. And that was terrible. It was terrible because everything my wife was like giving over. They were reading something, they were reading a text together. They had a text that this institution sent them and they were learning it together. Everything my wife like tried to give over. My wife was like a very good, pure person. She's not in the place of like, you said I'll rebut you and refute you and I'll show you why you're wrong. She's like, she's not in that place. She's just like very emuna orientated. Just emuna. And she talks from the heart. And then someone like does a like stinging comment, like a backhanded, like against Yiddishkeit. Oh, that doesn't explain why that person once upon a time did that. Like it's hard to relate to them. It's hard. So I said to my maybe just switch to halacha. Because halacha is more kind of objective. It's more rigid. It's not hashka. Hashkafa, everyone can go anywhere they want. But if you're just learning like details, and they switched to halacha, and it was better, but still, like it was often like, really? Why would God want you to do that? And that was where it was going to, and eventually they stopped. Because my wife didn't feel it was helping her, and it was harming my wife. Like it was taking something of value and mazalzel. And then after a certain while, chas v'shalom, you also feel a certain level of zilzul. You know, imagine a little boy, Yisrael Moshe, grows up in Keren B'Yavne, and he's never seen a car driving on Shabbos. He's never seen it. He's just never, where would he have seen it? He's never seen a car driving on Shabbos. And if once he noticed like a car on the highway, he said, oh, someone's having a baby. And another person, look at all these people going to the hospital to have babies. Amazing. because he knew that his mother wants to have Dr. on Shabbos to have a baby, so that's allowed. You know, that's what they. Okay, one day he goes for Shabbos to Yerushalayim, the Ir HaKodesh, and he's walking to the Kotel from wherever he was staying. And yeah, when you go walk to the Kotel, you go past places where there's a lot of people going to have babies, or Arabs. I don't know, one of the two. And he's walking and he says, Abba, Odaraviva, Odaraviva, Odaraviva. How many Arabs live in this Jerusalem? Isn't Jerusalem like it? No, so the guy was like, all these people are going to hospital? Said, no, there are some Jews who don't keep Shabbos. And suddenly his world breaks. There are Jews who don't keep Shabbos. Now, what will happen to him now is, he's going to have this inner conflict. How could it be that something which I hold valuable, other people don't hold valuable? How do you explain that? So what the conclusion you come to is, there are different opinions about it. That I hold this, and other people hold something different. Now, most people agree that you shouldn't kill someone. So that you can be pretty rest assured that if you hold that, that's universal. And a boy growing up in Cambodia, it might think the same about Shabbos. Shabbos has inherent value. Shabbos is like murder. Right? The obligation to keep Shabbos is equal in its value of not murdering. That was better. Right? That's the same. So then it's obvious that it's important. Suddenly you see some people do, some people don't. Okay, so it's important to me and not important to him. So it's kind of less important. And if you would ever meet someone who would make fun of Shabbos and ridicule it, then that wouldn't stop you from keeping Shabbos. Because for you it's a value. But the more you hear people mezalzel, making fun and ridiculing, then even though you'll still remain loyal and devoted, but it wears away and wears away and wears away until a certain point, Chas v'Shalom, a person could say, I'll do it because of tradition, but like, does it really have value? Zilzul eats away at the core of emunah. And the more you can recognize the inherent value in something, and you hold it strong, that will protect you against those people who make fun. There's some people who have questions, and that we hold in high respect. You want to question something, we'll discuss it, come to an understanding. There's some people who don't have questions. They just want to make fun. They just want to take anything of value and knock it down. Often they, I'm not saying this is a certainty, but often they lead lives which are not fully ethical. And the only way they can justify leading a life which is not ethical is by saying, ethics aren't a concept. Ethics aren't absolute. And once they say that, then they're okay. Because, you know, I don't do everything correct. That's okay, because ethics aren't absolute. So the only way they can say that is by taking ethics and knocking them down. Taking things that you hold precious or valuable and say, that's not really. It comes from a healthy place. It's protection. They need to protect themselves. Right? They want to feel worthy. But it's very damaging for us to hear. But if you recognize how important the value is to you, and you've researched the topic, and you've contemplated it deeply, and you realize this is valuable for me, then when they come to you and they say to you that something is not worthy, you're able to say, I know that it is worthy. And I recognize that you have a need to say that it's not worthy. Because that's your need. But that doesn't affect me anyway. Because if you don't understand that it's their need, then you say, there's two opinions here. Some say yes, some say no, okay. And that already has lowered the value of making Kiddush Hashem in the world. But once you recognize, I understand why he would need to say that for his own self-worth. So, but that doesn't mean that it has to have any effect on me, because it doesn't mean it has truth to it. And it's especially true when people are mezalzel things without any logical background. Especially. It's also true when they have logic. But if they don't have logic, they just say, ah, oh, that, yeah, right. But there's not any content in what they're saying. How can you argue when there's no content? If someone comes to you and says, look, I'm looking for truth. I want to be intellectually honest here. And I don't understand Torah from Mount Sinai. Could you explain it to me? And you say, sure, I have it. I'm not scared of my faith. I'm very happy to engage conversation in faith. Because I see that you're honest. You don't have an agenda. Very happy. Let's discuss it for as long as you want. But once I see a person comes and says, ah, Torah is Sinai, yeah, right. Like my grandmother flew to the moon. And once that's the opening phrase, right? So you see they don't have an agenda of finding truth. They have an agenda of ridiculing. There, I won't open a discussion with it. It's lose-lose. It's lose for them because they'll ridicule the whole way through and feel they've won the argument because I didn't prove them wrong. So it's lose for them, meaning it's lose because I haven't helped them. And it's lose for me because it wears away at my faith, unjustifiably. If someone comes to me with a proper svara, I would feel a need to respond. They're not ridiculing, they're not making fun. There's no cynicism, no sarcasm. They just, I'm trying to understand. Then I wouldn't say, I don't want to talk to you. I would say, that's an important point. I want to think about that. And I would discuss it with them. And I would discuss it with other people because I need to. I'm obligated to the truth. But if someone's coming with zilzul, then it wears away at the truth. So it's only damaging, it's only harmful. Fine. Last small paragraph, and then we're at the end of Kavod, just in time. Derech ha-chinuch le-zihirut be-kavod brura. How do we educate ourselves for honor in a healthy manner? It starts off by the way you relate to other people. That's the easiest, most tangible way. And this is a golden rule, that the way you will always be relating to Hashem stems from, is based on, the way that you relate to other people. It's not two different worlds. It's not that you can relate to people one way and Hashem another way. Even if a person says, I'm more makpid on mitzvahs between me and Hashem and less on people, he's not makpid on mitzvahs with Hashem either. Because the honor that you give, you give. It's universal. Once you're an honor-giving person, and that honor will go in every direction. You'll honor yourself, you'll honor others, and you'll honor Hashem. Once a person is a zilzul-oriented person, he makes fun of things, then he'll say, I'm not such a great. And other people, and they're not so great. And Hashem, I don't know. It's a koach that a person has, which once he has it, or whatever level he has it on, it applies across the board. It may express itself on different levels of different people. Because he's more polite, so he won't express himself as much with people. Or he's more respectful of tradition, so he won't express himself as much with Hashem. But at the core, the level of honor that a person has will go in all three directions. And therefore, the way to work on it is not towards Hashem. That's going to be the expression. Obviously do that as well, but the more tangible way is in the area which is within your capability. Well, that's where you relate to other people. It's so tangible, it's so accessible. So Hilchot Derech Eretz, cover the brios, not to ridicule other people, and especially things that have more value. So when it comes to Talmidei Chachamim, when it comes to the elderly, when it comes to people who are putting in a lot of effort to put in work to accomplish, by honoring them, those are things that you can see the value directly, that's what will generate more honor within you. Not for other people to recognize you. You're not doing it for them. That's the non-Jewish way. But rather for you to have the inherent value that you're really seeking to go. You'll become a man of nobility, a man of integrity. You'll become a truly honorable person. Not because someone else said, but because you are. And that's the chinuch that we have for Talmidei Chachamim, for standing up for them when they walk past, for kibud av v'em. Also, I'm going to throw out something, which I think is very recommendable. Not everyone does it, and I feel it's a lack. But when the Sefer Torah is moving from the Aron HaKodesh to the Bima and from the Bima back, if your place, your makom is all the way at the back and it's a big kitircha, you're not obligated to. But if you daven in a place which is in between the two, or even not exactly in between the two, but accessible enough, go and walk behind it. Or stand there to kiss the Sefer Torah, the Torah comes up. As you give honor to Torah, the value of Torah will be more honorable within you. If you wish to develop within yourself an appreciation of Torah, then by honoring the Sefer Torah, when the opportunities like that arise, it will develop a sensitivity within you. And I'll take it a step further. I do see it, and it upsets me, some with Rabbanim more than others, that a Rav will come over to his Talmidim in the morning, and the Talmidim is sitting at their place, and the Rav comes to say something about the Maror Makomos, and the Talmidim carry on sitting down. I mean, the Ravas come within their Dalet Amos, and they're sitting at their place learning the Maror Makomos, and the Rav's standing there by the table looking over them. The rabbi doesn't need it. In fact, there's one particular rabbi who doesn't want it. And he may even sneak up from behind you and put his hand on your shoulder to make sure you don't stand up for him if you come close. But it's not about them. You're not doing it for them. Don't think, oh, he doesn't like it, so I won't do it. It's not about him. It's not about the Talmud Chacham. It's about you. If you honor the Talmud Chacham, then the value of Torah becomes greater within you. So I don't care if he doesn't want it. It's not his. It's nothing to do with him. It's not about this individual. It's about Torah. And if I respect the Torah within him, then my value of Torah will grow. And then my ability to learn will grow, because I will value the words that I'm reading in a greater level. And my respect for Torah mitzvahs. And you will see the nafka minna in your children. Because people who value Torah greatly, their children grow up to be Talmidei Chachamim. Because children don't copy you in your actions, they copy you in your values. And if a child sees that you deeply value Talmidei Chachamim, and you deeply appreciate words of Torah, they see you get excited when you read a word. Some people come in with a new iPhone, look at this, it has this gadget and this app, and the kids say, that's what's really valuable. And then the father says, no, go now, you have a learning with your Rebbe, you must go. And the child says, I don't want to go. He says, what do you mean, I'm paying good money for this Rebbe? Yeah, but you're telling me to go, but you're excited about the phone. What am I going to emulate? Children emulate what their parents value. And if you now build your value of Torah by standing up for Talmud Chachamim, by standing up for the Torah, and by allowing yourself to express your excitement over Chidushei Torah that you learn, express it. Tell someone. Tell yourself. Joy. Sit back. Stand up. Do something to show that you love what you just learned and how excited you are. That will be the major way to ensure that your children will grow up to be Talmud Chachamim. Much more than stories that you tell or actions that you do. When they see the value that you have for Talmud Torah. And if I want to throw that out, both for the Sefer Torah and for Talmud Chachamim, it's not about them, it's about you. You can build your world to be a Torah value-oriented world by expressing these values now. Avodah Gadolah, the ultimate, what we're working towards, is to give kavod to Hashem. And the more you deepen your respect for people, and then going up a stage, the more you deepen your respect for Torah and Talmud Chachamim, you will be able to then recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu more in your life. Recognize the messages that Hashem has sent you through the Torah and through nature. Respect those, honor those, acknowledge those, and you will be honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu by bringing out the nature of those things in this world. Ba'olam she'ein bo shifrut v'katnut. You will discover a world where nothing is petty, nothing is small, everything is the word of Hashem. You will begin to notice that anyone who is sent to you as a shaliach, even if they bother you, was teaching you something and bringing out some message for you, in order for you to build your relationship with Hashem. Every natural phenomena, every social phenomena, and every word of Torah that you learn will be another way of expressing. It's all God's word. And you will discover what is God's message for me in this. And that's honoring Hashem in the greatest way. Where nothing is stum, nothing is random, nothing is petty. Everything is the word of Hashem. And as you recognize it as that, it builds you and builds you. Which as we spoke about beforehand, that's what you'll take with you to the next world. That's your neshama. Your neshama is giving honor to God-oriented things. That's who you will be in the next world. And that's what the pasuk says, Uvehechalo. Hechalo is referring to the next world, which you enter, when your neshama gets there. Kulo omer kavod. The only thing that's said there, everything that's said there, is honor. Whatever you honored in this world, that's what you will be in the next world. So, Vehechalo, when you get to the Hechal, which is the next world, Kulo omer kavod. The only thing that's there is the honor. Whatever you honored and recognized and acknowledged as Hashem in this world, that's the whole essence of what you will be in the next world. So Chasdei Hashem, we finished the topic of Kavod, and I think we've learned something which is going to be a new perspective, or a sensitized perspective, which can enable our whole relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, others, spouses, chavrusas, and respect for Torah and Talmud Chachamim to go up a notch with Kavod. Bez Hashem, next time we'll continue with the Perek of Ratzon. Shakorah.